from Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. When they looked up, they saw no one but Jesus. I'm turning things a little backwards today. Often we maybe sing our songs, hear a sermon, and then the reward at the end is to come to the table, right? You made it to the end. You endured the sermon, right? I want us to remember, hear again what those disciples did. They saw the flash of light. They saw Jesus, his image transformed in front of them. And they fixed their eyes. The writer to Hebrews says, fix our eyes on Jesus. They saw him. They gazed upon him. They didn't necessarily do anything for him. They received a blessing from him. So as we prepare today, I want to come to the table first and recognize that before we do anything else, hear anything else, we receive already from the presence of the Lord. Amen. I like that for a couple of reasons. I always feel rushed at Holy Communion. Maybe that's because we're here and we have to hop right out when the service ends. But I like this reminder. I like this reminder that we come together, we come forward to the table, we come, even with our hands like this. I don't always teach that very well. We don't come with kind of pincher fingers taking Holy Communion. We come, y'all thought that was funny, didn't you? We don't come with pincher fingers really taking Holy Communion. That's not a like judgment if you do that. We come with hands open, not to take communion, but to receive. To receive from the Lord, to receive from His presence. We did say a prayer of confession and consecration. But let's be honest, that there wasn't really time for you to clean up your act and get everything in order and come forward to qualify for the grace and mercy of God at His table. You received. You received. This is how all transformation begins in the Christian life. Not trying to figure it out and sand off all the rough edges so that we make ourselves acceptable to God. The heart of transformation is looking at Jesus long enough to receive from Jesus. It's even what happened in Matthew 17 in the scripture up on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's Jesus, and then suddenly in full white color glow, Elijah on one side, Moses on the other, the pinnacle examples of Old Testament faith. And Peter wants to respond quickly. He wants to improve the situation. there is Jesus in the glow of heaven, and Peter thinks he can improve on it. Let's build a shelter. Let's build a monument. But you notice this, the Father never said, hey guys, let's build. This is my beloved Son, let's build. He says, this is my Son, let's listen. Let's look clearly. Self-improvement builds and forces and wrestles sometimes against God, but transformation beholds and receives and listens. See what happened right there? They are beholding Jesus. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. The disciples in that moment were not told to try harder. Come on, guys, it's been a tough go. They were simply invited and by grace allowed to see Jesus more clearly. Greg Ogden would call this a greenhouse moment. You know what a greenhouse is. In the cultivation world, in the world of plants and tending, especially to delicate plants, the greenhouse is designed to be a controlled setting that intensifies growth. The greenhouse controls light and heat and moisture, humidity for the sake of growth. There are at least two things happening here. One is in this greenhouse, there's the powerful presence of Jesus and the invitation to look at Him and listen to His Word. And then there's also the intentional presence of a handful of beloved friends who are with you looking to Jesus and listening to Jesus. I would submit to you, it doesn't work without both of those things being present. The powerful presence of Jesus and His Word and the intentional presence of a small group of trusted friends fixing our gaze on Jesus in the context of others doing the same. So when we prepare and we come to the Lord's table to receive the bread and cup, we didn't fix ourselves, we fix our gaze, because we know this, we become what we behold. What we put our eyes on clearly becomes our model. We become what we behold. While Jesus was still speaking, the bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Listen to Him. Again, the Father doesn't say, "Hey guys, it's Lent, 40 days till Easter. Work harder. Get it all together. I want you to feel guilty so that by the time you get to Easter, you can really celebrate." That may be the old way. That may be how you were raised to celebrate Lent. But really, Lent is this. It's just the season of learning to look again and listen again to Jesus. Last week we read Acts 2:42. The disciples devoted themselves in the years, the days of the first churches. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to beholding Jesus. And lo, if the witness isn't that they became what they beheld. Because that's true. What we behold, what we see is what we become. They were never on a journey for self-improvement. Y'all hear this clearly. And let's get off of that treadmill. Self-improvement says try harder for God. Do more church stuff. Add more disciplines and feel guilty when you fail. But Jesus, in transformation, Jesus says, come close. Receive grace. Listen daily. Stay with me long enough to be changed, not in an instant, but over time. You can't transform yourself, but you can position yourself. I talked a couple of weeks ago about what it means to, you know, you turn the faucet on and the water can flow and flow and flow and it'll never fill anything until you put your cup under the tap. The mercy of God is flowing already. I'm asking you today, is your cup under the tap? Is your heart, is your mind in a place? Are you positioned to receive what God is so greatly pouring out for you? I said it already. I love the climax of this when the glow is gone and Elijah's gone and Moses are gone and they fell down terrified. Jesus comes near. He touches them. He says, get up. And when they look up, what do they see? When they look up, they saw no one but Jesus. They saw no one but Jesus. Isn't that the essence of our faith? Not self-focus or self-obsession, not religious performance, only Jesus. Only Jesus. One look. We become what we behold. Last week, I challenged you to take one move, right? Either one move toward God in regular prayer or one move toward another person. So two responses again today. One response. I'll invite you to a daily gaze. If the disciples came from the mountain, they looked and they saw no one but Jesus. I want to invite you from now to Easter. I want to invite you to a daily gaze, a daily look at the goodness of Jesus. If you haven't already picked up the Jesus Asking Devotional, there are probably a dozen copies still in the narthex. Maybe you'll want to use that as part of your daily gaze, your daily look, your daily listen to the words of Jesus with only one outcome, with only one end goal. Simply listen for this question. Ask Him this question. Jesus, what are you saying to me today? One question. Read, engage, listen, and ask Him that question in response. Jesus, what are you saying to me today? Not a long list of add-ons. Not anything to feel guilty about. Just one question. A daily gaze, beholding Jesus, asking, what are you saying to me today? A daily gaze and then a weekly witness. A daily gaze and a weekly witness. One time a week. One time a week. Tell someone else about what you saw or heard from Jesus. Tell someone else. I'm not saying, you know, find the person in the end market that you don't even know and say, oh God, you know, like a crazy person or something. Somebody you know. Maybe somebody in your household or someone you sit next to at church. Let's build that relational momentum. Remember those first disciples, Acts 2:42? They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to living their Christian lives together. They didn't do that with random strangers. People with whom they had trusted their lives. Notice this. Remember, Peter was not alone at the Transfiguration. Not even all the disciples, not even the whole church was there, right? Jesus had turned and said, Peter, James, John, three of you, I want you to go with me up to the mountain. Friends, you're blessed if you've got one or two people, like Peter could turn to James and John, if you've got somebody that would say, hey, come, listen to me. I've got something to tell you about what Jesus is speaking to me this week. A daily gaze and a weekly witness. Every day, look at Jesus. Every week, talk about Jesus. Simple enough. You've received from His grace, from His mercy at the table. So you're not earning anything, but you're being transformed. You're being changed, working with the grace that God's given you in Jesus. So let's close our eyes and just take a slow breath together. On the mountain, the Father says, "This is my Son, listen to Him," and that is still today's invitation. Listen and look and stay close to Jesus, for we become what we behold. I'll invite you to put your hands out like this, just in front of you, just as a symbolic gesture that you want to receive from the Lord, like you did at the table. And let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do not transform ourselves, we receive from you. So teach us to listen and teach us to see. Teach us to stay close long enough to be changed. Make us more aware that we are yours, not because we try harder, but because we behold you more clearly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll stand, we'll sing together.